everyone. Welcome all. Step right up. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number... Oh my goodness, I haven't got to look this up. It's been so long. 148, coming at you right now. Howdy, everybody. Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. We're also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Hello, everybody. This is episode 148. I am your host, The Brant, and I am entitling this one, I Will Make It So, is the episode title for this one here. Hello, everybody. It has been 6 weeks since I've put out a podcast. And, you know, first I would say, no, it's not really Corona. It's just I've been so busy. I mean, it's part of that and just a change. I was doing the little daily logs, and basically I would say school happened because I started teaching, doing distance learning, and it just kind of changed my whole structure of my day. I was home, and I was getting up, and I was kind of getting myself ready, kind of taking my time in the morning, and I was able to record the logs in the morning and get them up, but now I have to wake up right to school, so I'm not getting up super early and getting that ready, so that just kind of changed my ability to do those logs, which I could do at night, but I don't know. So I kind of stopped doing it for better or for worse. Also, it just, when it started to look like this thing was so long, I didn't know that I really wanted to make a pod blast every day. So it was just a change. It wasn't a positive or a negative or anything in terms of all that. I guess I just haven't put out an episode. We're just doing so much. We're remodeling the portal. I'm hoping at the end of this episode that I will be able to talk to Larry and Brian because we are at the store, not open, but we are remodeling the store. So I wanted to get 10 minutes to sit down with them and talk through that. So that's my goal for the end of this episode. Mostly I'm just going to kind of talk about what I've been doing, focused around games. I don't know that there's really any reviews here for this episode. Certainly just talking about games that I've played, but I'm not really focusing on giving you a full review of a game or making that the goal for this one. But yeah, we've just been so busy. We've been remodeling, and we've been at the store, and I've been teaching, which takes me a good portion of each day. And we've just had the kids, and been keeping them entertained, and we've been doing music, and we've been playing games. I don't know. It's a little bit of a longer day. We get a little more exhausted, so that's just kind of how it's fallen thus far. We've done some music. I played a lot more music lately, which has been interesting, although I'm playing less because I'm not playing at my church as I normally do. So that's what's been happening. Last night, I was on the Daily Chat, the Dice Tower Daily Chat, that's on their YouTube channel, and I was talking to Mike Delisio. So that was fun. You could check that out. We chatted for just a little over an hour and answered questions and whatnot. So that was fun to be with everybody and to be able to answer those. It's funny, you get like 15 questions in an hour or so, and it always happens where there's two or three I can't answer. I was trying to think of a weird game I've played, and I don't know, weird game is kind of strange. I've played some games with kind of odd themes, but nothing that ended up being super weird, so that was just kind of funny on that front. So I hope everything's good with you. I hope it's good with your family. I hope you're staying safe, staying healthy, staying at home, all those things, so we can kind of beat this thing down and get back. It hit me yesterday, especially when I was talking to Mike, that I realized I'm just not going to see people from the board game community at conventions, and that hit me hard. It was tough. It was tough to realize I won't see Brothers Murph and Matt Jude and Mike and Tom and Z, even Eric, who's close to us. We're just not going to catch up with those people, and that was tough for me, realizing there's just so many people I'm not going to get around to see everybody here, but I think it'll be all the sweeter when we do get to see them, so I guess that's how things go sometimes. I'm even intrigued in my own VonnerCon at my house in October, if that's something that's possible to have happen. So we shall see. But on to bigger and better things, I suppose, in terms of that. So probably the biggest thing that I've been doing lately, it's probably two things that have been the biggest lately. So I'll start with the first. So I started painting my Star Wars Legion miniatures. Now, I played Warhammer Fantasy, let's call it 2nd edition, 3rd edition, something like that, back in the day, you know, in the 90s, and I painted a whole bunch of Night Goblins. So it's like, your hat is black, and your pants are black, and you're green, and your boots are brown, boom, 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 and I painted them all so I could do that. I think I also had some skinks or some lizard men that I painted so that I could play at those Games Workshop stores, but I did a horrible job painting them. It was just enough so I could go play, which has always been my focus with those types of games. But I said, well, let me try it. Let me see if I can paint. Let me see if I enjoy painting. And let me see if my miniatures look better, if that's something that's exciting, since I'm sitting at home a bunch and can watch TV or really listen to things. I listen to a lot more. I actually listen closer to things when I paint. It's weird. Anyway. So I did. I picked up a bunch of paints, and I primed, and I painted up some stormtroopers and some shore troopers and Vader and my speeder bikes and my AT-ST, and now I've got a Dewback I'm painting and Boba Fett, and here I go. And everybody in the house, if you don't know, we have 8 people living in our house, so we're a little bit full. That's just regular. That's not Corona-related. They're always like, wow, you were just sitting here painting like crazy. So I definitely got into it. I definitely enjoyed it. I can see myself stopping when we're kind of done. I don't think it's something I want to do over playing games or over podcasting or, it's kind of 50-50 with Nintendo Switch. I enjoy playing video games. I've been playing Final Fantasy X a whole bunch, but I've waned on that a little bit, in terms of all that. It's hard to keep myself entertained. I really like people. And everybody's busy in my house, so it's tricky, but it's good that everybody's busy. So I've been painting those miniatures, and I definitely found some good times in it. I like Legion because, you know, I'm painting 7 miniatures for the Stormtroopers and 1 for Vader, and so I've painted, you know, half of what I own already, so maybe 50 models total would get me to paint my Imperial Army, and I don't have an other army. I do have a Rebel Army. A very bare-bones Rebel Army that came in the box, and I added a few things so I could play at home against people. You know, I picked up Leia and Chewie, and I picked up some Fleet Troopers. I think that's essentially it. So I just added a little bit extra so I could get up to, you know, close to 800 points and play a regular game. So, really been enjoying Legion. That's been fun to kind of play during this time. So I've been doing that and painting. And that's taken up a good amount of my time in the last week and a half or so. So, yeah, a little bit of an obsession. But like I said, I could see myself putting it down. I don't think I've become a painter of minis. I'm not going to break out Blood Rage and, you know, whatever else with and paint my Gloomhaven miniatures and whatnot. I think I'm just kind of doing it now. But it's been fun. It's been good to kind of pick up a new hobby. I know there's that whole thing of, like, if you don't come out of this with a new hobby, you wasted your... And I don't want to disparage people anything in this time. I especially know that as a teacher. You know, I've got students that are going through all sorts of things that they just can't, that are tough to cope with. And so, you know, even asking them to do schoolwork can be tricky at times. So we're just doing the best we can. But it's been nice that I've been able to do that and whatnot. The other big thing we've been doing is we played The Crew and we beat The Crew. So this is a co-op trick-taking game from Cosmos Games. And it's been a big hit, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, we've got 5 adults and 3 kids, so 4 of us adults have sat down. We played over 9 sessions, we played 99 times, and we beat all 50 missions with 4 players. Does that mean I think the game is amazingly phenomenal? I don't think so. I think the game is really, really good. I really like it. There's no way it could be an okay game, and I would play it 99 times. Now, realize that some hands are very quick. So 99 times, we may lose on the 2nd, 3rd card we play, and not much prior to that. So, you know, that hand could have been like 3 minutes. So, you know, it's not a ton of time like it sounds, 99 plays. I guess it would almost be like 99 plays of, you know, Klondike Solitaire on your computer. That doesn't sound so crazy, you know, in terms of that. But, so yeah, it's a trick-taking game, and you're trying to work together and collect certain cards, and there's all sorts of different things they do in the missions, like one player has to collect all the pink cards, or you have to get the rocket cards, which are your Trump suit, and you have to collect them in order, or whatever it is. all sorts of different things. I think the really cool part of the game is the communication piece. So you could take a card from your hand and lay it down so everybody can see it once per game. You lay a card down and then you put a token on it to either say, this is my only card of this suit, this is my highest card of the suit, or this is my lowest card of the suit. And that little bit of communication is really telling. It could be really kind of like a deduction puzzle to figure out, like, what do I need to tell people and what have people told me that I should be able to figure out in terms of counting cards and things. You definitely build a meta, so I can see the playing 50 games with people being really interesting. And I was a little sad at the end. I think this is what keeps the game from being amazing, was it didn't, there was nowhere to go from the end. It was just over. And I thought it would have been creative of them to say, now, go here. Now, I can't imagine that they won't post some things or there won't be some homebrew stuff that people come up with online on the website. So I think that will give it initial play. But I don't really know how to go back. Like, do I go back and say, okay, I'm going to play this mission 17 and then mission 32 and then mission... Like, you can kind of remember your favorites, but if it feels like if you're going to say collect 9 cards, you're going to say collect 10 cards. Like, let's just make it harder. So yeah, that just seems a little funny in terms of I don't know what to do with the game now that I beat it. But hey, 99 plays of anything, if I never play it again, I would still rank it as a great game. So I think that one will be a big hit this year. Mike disagreed with me last night. He thinks it'll be a flash in the pan. He thinks like the mind and stuff aren't there. So we'll have to see. I guess time will tell is the classic line to say over these things. But I definitely enjoyed it. I definitely did that. I wouldn't be averse to going through it again with 3 players. 5 could be really tough. I think it would take a long time to get through. So I'm hoping to take that group and break out Aeon's End Legacy. That's where I want to go next. Or maybe the Lord of the Rings Journeys of Middle-Earth. Or like a Rise of Queensdale if I can get them to play Legacy or Campaign. But if not, we might do like a rotation where everybody gets to pick the next game we're going to play on tonight. Although we actually haven't played since we finished the crew. We've kind of sat for 6 nights and not done like a nightly game. We played little things, so that's what's been happening there. I got a chance to play one thing of King's Dilemma. So King's Dilemma is like a legacy game from Horrible, I think it's Horrible Guild now, through Luma here in North America. And it's an interesting game. It's basically just a big voting game. You just vote which way you want to see things happen, and you have some prestige. And then where it's really clever is you have kind of like hidden motives, hidden goals, hidden achievements. So you're trying to do all these various things, and you kind of change your starting position. I've only played one game. I don't know how many games we play. I'm going to guess something like 10. So I'll have to see where it goes from here. It's not really my style game, but the story so far is really well written. And I like what they do. You kind of get to open these envelopes and you get a little story of like, oh, this thing is happening based on your choice. And you shuffle 3 cards into a deck that every round you draw the bottom card from that deck because they're double-sided. And you kind of read that story and interact with whatever that element is in voting. And you've kind of got these resources that you're fighting over. So it seems pretty interesting on that front. Definitely looking forward to keep playing. We'll see how it shakes out. I could see myself getting tired of it after 5 or 6 plays, but it's relatively short. It's definitely under an hour for our first play. Maybe not with reading rules and punching stuff, but we'll see how that goes. So there is that. I got to play Villainous solo. I'll thank the one-stop... Why am I forgetting the name of it? One-stop co-op shop. Oh my goodness, I feel so bad that I can't remember the name. I'm pretty sure that's it. One-stop co-op shop. Yes. I feel really bad that I can't remember the name of that. Channel, I'm in the Slack, and people were talking about the fact that there was a Villainous. It's really simple. I don't know if you played Villainous, but you every turn you pick up a token, kind of size style, and you pick a space, and you do all the actions in that space. And then you're just playing cards to kind of achieve these objectives. And it's all asymmetric. Every villain from Disney is different. So I really like that thematically. I guess it's kind of a guilty pleasure game. And I wanted to try the solo. The solo is interesting. It basically gives you 20 turns to win. And you draw these fate cards, which are all the heroes and the positive elements of the movie or whatever. And they come out to try to foil your plans. And whenever you draw a fate card against an enemy, you actually draw it against yourself. So that kind of is an interesting way. And then you just roll a die at the end of every turn to see if the quote-unquote enemy or AI would draw a fate card against you. So you can get a lot of fate cards or not a lot, based on how the dice roll. So it's a pretty basic little AI, but I was surprised it worked pretty well. I won with Cruella DeVille from the Perfectly Wretched expansion, which is the newest one, in 18 turns, and that seemed close. So, yeah, it was kind of interesting, which it's always sad when you win the game because you're like, well, I got 101 Dalmatians, and I'm going to make a coat. So, but yeah, they at least make the winning just collect and not actually make the coat. So I guess that's good. But, so that was fun. So check that out. I wish I could credit the person on BGG, but I actually don't know who made it. But I will let you know that there is someone I should be crediting on BGG who made that solo variant. So I thought that was interesting. What else has been played? I played Terraforming Mars Turmoil, the newest expansion, and boy, was it seamless and good. They put events into play, but since it's a Euro, they did the great thing where you see the events two rounds in advance. So if you don't prep, hey, it's on you. You knew it. You had time to prep for that event. So if it's positive or negative or whatever, you have time to kind of react to that. So I thought that was really well done. And then there's just this whole, world political, agenda, location. That sounds super negative. I feel like political agenda is a super negative sounding term. I don't mean it that way. You're pushing for various agendas to happen on Mars, and you get to put little delegates out, and you get to lead them, and you get all sorts of bonuses from having delegates. And I was just super impressed with how smooth and integrated it was. And that's really been the genius behind Terraforming Mars this whole time. It's just so smooth. And there's just such a big arc to the game. I mean, it's the biggest engine-building arc I can think of in board games. And they've just done a great job. Just, here's another, with all the expansions. Here's another board. Here's a way to jumpstart what you can do. Here's some colonies that you can work about. Here's some events that you can react with. And some really simple things, some agendas. And when you get the agendas, everybody gets, a little bonus through that round. That they're able to do. So this becomes easier. So I just thought it was great. And Terraforming Mars is just a phenomenal game. And that expansion, was seamless, which was so good. I'd love to play with all the expansions sometime. I'm in. I'll do it. Sounds great. Let's see. What else have I been playing? I'll just mention some. We played Pictures, which is this kind of party game, kind of like a Just One feel, I guess, where you're trying to, use various objects. Everybody has different objects to make various pictures that are out on the board. And what's interesting is you kind of build a meta because you get used to what's out there. So that's kind of been neat and fun to play. I really haven't played a lot with the kids. The kids haven't been super into playing games. Zephyr and I did get into games, so I kind of go to my Back from the Dead games. Everybody's pulling games off their shelf, and I've been doing the same. So one that I got to play with Zephyr was Heroes of Terranoth, and I just adore that game. And it was so perfect to play with a kid. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. We were up. I said, "Do you want to try this?" She said, "Sure, I'll play a game with you." And she loved it. You just tap a card, roll some dice, do some actions. They're very positive. And then you quickly get to upgrade. And you get, oh, this is better. Oh, Dad, look what I can do now. Oh, check it out. I could take care of that. And she's coming up with the ideas. Boy, great job, Sadler Brothers. I mean, what a phenomenal game. I love that game. It was like my number 6 for 2018 or whatever year it came out. And I stand by that choice. That's just such a great co-op game. So we had a lot of fun with that. Port Royal has been really big. We've been playing a lot of Port Royal lately. A great Alexander Pfister game. It's like a push-your-luck Euro, and those sound counterintuitive. You're building a little engine. I don't know. It's just clever. It's a clever drafting game where I flip over cards to push my luck, and then I get things for having lots of cards out. But the more cards I flip, the more opportunity is for people to buy cards. But if they buy, I get money, so then I have more money to buy things on other it's great. It's so clever. Honestly, it could rival for my favorite Alexander Pfister game. It's so good. But it's just such a different arc from the big box Mombasa, Maracaibo, Blackout Hong Kong, and Great Western Trail. Those are a whole different thing. So, there's that. Got to play Root again, and I forgot that Root is so good. Another game. This is so fun, right? You get to do this. You get to podcast and talk about games you've been playing that, Root won all the best of 2018 awards and whatnot. And then you walk away from it for 9 months, a year, whatever, and you come back and you're like, this game is great. I got the upgraded boards. I'm looking forward to getting kind of some of the solo stuff and the other things. I just had a blast playing Root and remembering everything. We got trounced by Larry. He played super well. But it was a lot of fun to do that. Dugout Council of Four again. Game from... Oh, no, I can't remember who the publisher is. I know now Come On has the publishing, but I can't think of the other one. So, anyway, but we got to play Council 4. Just a really neat, quick engine-building Euro. Enjoyed that one a whole bunch. So had fun with that. Played Pulsar 2849. Probably one of my least favorite that I played as of late. It was four players. And I don't know what happened, but I just got so stuck behind on getting the cubes, and it was so hard to do anything. And then it took about 2.5 hours, 2 hours and 15 minutes, and I just knew I had no chance. And sure enough, I was in last place by 30 points, almost lapped. And unfortunately, it just wasn't enjoyable. I still feel like I liked the game. I had fun with all remembering all the things, but boy, I just couldn't play well. So I guess it was the case I didn't enjoy it because I didn't play well. So that could definitely be a complaint, but... What are you going to do? Played Magna Storm again. I love that game. That's a phenomenally underrated game. Actually tweeted that out, and Paul Grogan responded. He wants to get a game of that in on his channel, Gaming Rules. So we'll see if that happens, if he can get that played again, because that's a great game. It's a weird game. There you go. Now that I say I can't think of a weird game, this one is weird. It's a Euro, but it's a racing game. You are racing to a certain number of points, and it really throws people off because it feels like, okay, I triggered endgame, so we finished the round. No. The game is over. It's a race. And so it's really interesting how that one works. Lots of special powers. That's what makes that game interesting. And then just, you literally are doing one action on your turn, but it's this whole branch of choices. Do I want to do this action or that action? Am I going to do it by this or this? Am I going to pay or not? Am I going to get this bonus or that bonus? Am I going to move here or there? Am I going to get this? Which one am I going to move up on? You use all these branching, generally getting like two choices. It's really interesting. If you haven't seen or played Magna Storm, I highly, highly recommend it. Kathy and I dug out Brass Birmingham. So good. Great game. Only thing was I felt bad because I was losing after the canal phase. Pretty miserably, and said, oh my gosh, how am I going to come back? And then in classic complain fashion, I came back and edged her out by a few points, and I think it was a little frustrating for her, but yeah, there's that. And then actually probably the hottest game lately has been Feast for Odin. This has been getting played like crazy in the house. I had Brian dig it out from his collection. He's got his whole collection up at the portal, and he's going through everything in terms of all that, and dug out Feast for Odin with the Norwegians expansion, which I heard is like an amazing, amazing expansion, and I definitely think it's great. I didn't get a sense. I guess I hadn't played Feast for Odin in so long, and I played with it. It just felt like there was just more things to choose from, and that is totally fine. I didn't get a sense of like, oh, this was broken in the game, and they fixed it, or they added this great part. It felt like more really good stuff. I really like Feast for Odin. It's a little bit long. I don't even mind the choices, but it gets a little scary to me at three players, and even four players seems really tough in terms of all that. But Brian and Rachel have been playing it a ton at the house, so they've really been enjoying that. That's kind of what's been getting played there. So, yeah, not too many reviews. I mean, for new stuff, I kind of talked about Perfectly Wretched. I played that with Zephyr. That was good. And The Crew, I guess I kind of got a big old review in there. The other game actually I've been playing is Sword and Sorcery again. I got an expansion, so I'm kind of playing through that solo, and Coffee Roaster, which I think I've talked about already in some of those pandemic legacy pod blasts. So yeah, that's what's been happening. That's what we've been up to. That's what we've been playing. I hope everything's going well for you. I am going to stop here and cut to, hopefully, now it will be, Brian and Larry and I talking about remodeling the store and just some of that, just a little 5 or 10 minutes with them, and wrap this episode up a little bit shorter. And I'll try to get some regular episodes out and get Kathy and Brian on here as well. I live with my co-hosts, and yet we still don't make episodes and all this. But again, we're fine. It's not for any reason. You know, I make these episodes for fun, and that's what I want to keep focusing on. So, you know, I didn't get to them, but we'll hopefully try to do that. So great to talk to everybody, and see you on the flip side here. All right, bye for now. Alrighty, hello everybody. Well, it seems that finding time with Larry and Brian to sit down and talk about all the work we're doing takes away from the work we're doing and whatnot. I know that, of course, answering phone calls and curbside pickup and all that just kind of get in the way of us sitting down to do a section of an episode. So I keep trying to get them to sit down several times when I'm there, and it just hasn't worked. So I figured I would just kind of jump on here, finish off this episode, and tell you about the remodeling that we're doing. So essentially we're remodeling like the whole store. We're just trying to think about how everything is and when people walk through the door, kind of a focus on two groups, which would be the people that are somewhat regular coming in for our various activities and meetups and events, and then thinking about people coming in the door like for the first time or the second time or whatever it is. So we really wanted to have a store that was open when you walk in, that you could see everywhere. There were things happening, demo tables set up, demos of games available to kind of be able to play. Now, don't think heavy games. Think dexterity games. Think simple games where you could just kind of see, what does Catan look like if it's open up? What does 40K look like if I see painted armies on a map? Those kind of things. So we really opened up the store. We pulled counters off the wall. We got shelving units that all match and put those up, and then we reorganized by category. So we decided to go with, you know, family games and deck builders and two-player games and strategy games and kind of party games, break it out in that sense to kind of give people a roadmap to go through. And then, of course, that's kind of your front area, and then as you make your way towards the back, we've got all our miniatures. One of the big things you see, sorry, not towards the back. When you first walk in, you'll see your GW miniatures and all that kind of stuff, a role-playing section. And then as you kind of follow that, you get to paints, wrap around a corner, you see your other miniatures games, your Song of Ice and Fire, your Legion, your X-Wing, your Infinity, other sorts of games like that. And then kind of in that section, we put miniatures board games as well, right? Your Blood Rage, Rising Sun, Axis and Allies, Twilight Imperium, all that kind of stuff is over there with the miniatures and all that. And then as you head kind of towards the back, that's where we have like kind of our war games and then maybe our really big, heavy, meaty Euros that you need to be in the hobby mostly to experience, and you're kind of looking for those. And that those would be more for regular people coming, regulars coming in the store and looking for those types of games. So kind of a heavy strategy game section, if you will. And then just thinking through all that. We're pulling our counter back to create more space, kind of create an aisle where you can have, you know, small items, candies, and small box games, and, you know, expansions and dice and all that kind of stuff kind of available to you in terms of all that, and putting some racks and all there. So it's been a lot right now of just three brains trying to sit down and hash it out and say, well, I think this, but I think this, and then moving things around to see what it looks like. Obviously, without a lot of cash flow right now, we're trying to, you know, work with the items we have in the store rather than, hey, we're going to go out and purchase all new this, all new that, all this. There's some purchasing we're doing, you know, painting some places and whatnot, but kind of working our way through that. So it's really interesting. You know, I always say that this podcast is about a store, but it's not necessarily all the ins and outs of a store. So whenever we talk about the store, I try to make sure it's something that I think would be interesting to, you know, a hobby gamer. And this has really been an interesting test. You know, we constantly do the walk through the door. What do you see? So one of us goes outside and walks through the door. Oh, I see this. I see that. I see this in terms of all that, and try to get an eye on what would you want? You know, what would you want people to see? What do you want people to look for? But I think the biggest thing that's going to be exciting is kind of the rollover for people. We've got places that like, hey, we're going to put Star Wars stuff up here, and then that'll roll over and maybe roll into your holiday stuff or your Halloween stuff or local designers. You know, we've got several local designers we could put up there or whatever it is, or just employee favorites from this month, whatever it is. Of course, your new releases and all that. So, it's an interesting exercise to just try to decide how should this look, what looks best to you, what would be convenient for people. But the biggest thing, like I said, if you've been there before, which I know many people who listen haven't, and that's fine though, is really just opening up that space. So, you know, taking shelves that blocked and moving those to the ends or moving those somewhere else or purposely having a block for some reason, as opposed to just, hey, these shelves fit a lot of games. And reorganizing. Games are kind of there. We've got them in sections, and then they're kind of by size, so it looks nice in terms of all that. And, you know, thinking about, like, well, we're not going to have seven copies of something else, so we'll have some in the back and bring one out when we need it in terms of that. You know, maybe have two copies available there, but as they sell, kind of work our way through. And then decreasing our counter space up front in terms of what we have behind, because we need that for some receiving and whatnot, but just thinking about that a little differently. And then, you know, we're floating a lot of new ideas in terms of things like offering space for miniatures gamers to play kind of out in our regular space so people could see miniatures games more. Because where we are, they kind of get tucked in a back room and people don't get to see them play. So if you walk in and you're like, I was interested in miniatures games, but I never really get to see them played, you could see people playing those. You know, we're really strongly considering like a used game section. We think that's a really neat element that a store can bring to people. Because obviously you can order from places online, you can go to your local store, whatever it is, but used games just offer an opportunity. Ooh, here's a game that somebody else loved, but they no longer want to play it, so maybe it's something that you could find either at a discount or whatever it is. But there's a lot of logistics to that and thinking through that in terms of what we want to do. So we think we're going to mostly start by kind of selling used stuff that we have and not taking in games from people. And just kind of creating a section for that. So hopefully that will be available. I can't promise all of these things will be available. We redid the board game library. That was kind of my first task. You know, and pulled out some things that just aren't getting played anymore and kind of shelved everything so there's space and pulled out the newest or most popular stuff, you know, that people want to readily find. Your Ticket to Ride and your Coup and your Clank and, you know, kind of Terraforming Mars, stuff like that that people want to play all the time. And then just kind of some of our newer games like Inner Compass from AEG and... I don't know, whatever's come out, you know, very recently here, so people could play that. So, that's what we've been doing. It's been a ton of work, and I've been going there for, you know, like 2 days a week, and doing all that. Brian's been doing a lot of the curbside stuff, so, that's kind of what's happening on that front, but I just want to let you know, like I said, because I think it's an interesting insight, and if you're a regular to the store, we miss you. We can't wait to see you again when we open up. I think it'll be really exciting. One of the parts that's neat is, you know, putting games in front of people that they haven't seen in a while. I know that happens with my own collection. You know, we switched rooms recently. Like, we switched our office and our dining room. And so now I'm in the office where all the game shelves are, and I had to reshelve and really decide what I want. And suddenly you realize, boy, I really want to play this game. You know, you pull something off the shelf that you haven't gotten a chance to play in a while. Get to play through those, and it's really quite fun. You remember those. So same kind of idea at the stores. We want to put games in front of people again. They're like, oh, I forgot about that game, and I had meant to pick that up, or that would be fun to play with the family, or so-and-so would enjoy that if I bought that for them. Whatever your situation, right, in terms of that, just giving that opportunity. So, alrighty, thanks so much, everybody. I hope to have an episode to you much sooner. I don't have a ton that I'm reviewing, but I'm glad to talk about what I'm playing. Which I think is okay. I think, again, it's kind of like pulling those old games off the shelf. You just get to hear somebody talk about them. So I'll probably do some re-reviews or some old reviews of games because I don't have a ton that's new or coming in or a lot of opportunity to play. But I will gladly, talk about what I've been playing and keep episodes going here. I think I just had a big hiccup with getting school underway, and now that it's kind of moving and we're heading out of that area, I'll be able to bring some episodes and get Kathy and Brian on here as well, and Larry, and bring you more episodes. So hopefully back to, you know, weekly-ish episodes here. So thanks for understanding as I have the break and all of that. But that will wrap up episode 148. I am your host, The Brand, and until next time, I hope you step into the portal.